Author Lee Wind is here to talk about his new book, Queer as a $5 Bill, and give us his spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Charlotte. Really happy to be here.
Tell us about your new book, Queer as a $5 Bill.
Sure. It's a YA novel about a 15-year-old boy, Wyatt, who's closeted and bullied and sort of accidentally dating his best friend, this girl, Mackenzie. And then he signed a book report on Abraham Lincoln because he lives in a town called Lincolnville in Oregon, and his parents own the Lincoln Slept Here Bed and Breakfast, and everybody loves Lincoln in his town. And he discovers in this book these real historical letters, this part I didn't make up, that Abraham Lincoln wrote Joshua Fry's speech, and he becomes convinced that Abraham was in love with Joshua. And since everyone loves Lincoln, he thinks, well, if he lets the world know that Lincoln was in love with another guy, it'll change everything and sort of cue the songbirds and the rainbow and the happy ending. But of course, I think if someone did go public in a really big way with this real secret from history, I think there'd be a huge conservative backlash. And that's really the story of what Wyatt faces. And as everything's sort of crumbling around him, they bring in a civil rights attorney to help. And this woman has an openly gay son. And so the sort of sparks fly between the boys, but the main character can't really do anything about it because a gay kid saying Lincoln was gay is very different than a straight kid saying Lincoln's gay. So he ends up with this choice. Is he going to try to, you know, deny his own feelings and try to change the world? Or is he going to let this secret from history fade back into nothing and see if there might be something with this guy Martin? So that's the story. It's sort of a 19th and 21st century coming out, coming of age, and maybe finding love story.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
So not coincidentally, I'm gay. I spent my teenage years closeted, bullied, dating girls. I always judged that it was the right thing to do, but I didn't feel it. And I kept hoping, man, would the feeling come? And I just wasted so much time trying to be who society and my parents wanted me to be, right? Someone else, this straight guy. And then I finally got honest and came out in my 20s. And then about 11 years ago, I was at a weekend retreat for gay men, and there was a lecture by this guy with Randy Harrison, and he shared about these letters that Abraham Lincoln wrote Joshua Fry Speed, and I was like, that can't be true. I mean, how could I never have heard of this? But I went to the library and I got out a bunch of books and I read the letters, and there's this one letter. Abraham and Joshua had lived together for 4 years, and then Joshua moves back to Kentucky and marries this woman named Fanny, and then 8 months later Abraham writes him a letter and he says, but now I need to ask a closer question. Are you now in feeling as well as judgment glad that you're married as you are? From anybody but me, this would be an impudent question not to be tolerated, but I know you'll tolerate it for me. And he ends the letter saying something like, tell me quickly, I feel impatient to know. And we don't have the answer, but we do know that it was only a few weeks later that Abraham married Mary Todd. So I read this and I got goosebumps because I was like, that's exactly how I felt, right? Like I judged it the right thing to do, but I didn't feel it. And I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, if I could go back in time and tell my 15-year-old self, hey, Abraham Lincoln was probably in love with this other guy, it would have changed everything about my life. But I don't have a time machine. So I thought, well, let me pay it forward with writing a story and telling the story of finding out this information and being faced with this question about, like, what is he going to do? He knows this secret that could change the world, and now what is he going to do about it?
What do you hope to accomplish with your book?
So there's this facade of history that we're all taught, that history is the stories of white, heterosexual, cisgendered, able-bodied, rich men, and it's just not true. And what I want to let youth know, and let everybody know, really, is that if we know that we have a place in the past, if we know that there were men who loved men, and women who loved women, and people who lived outside gender boundaries in the past, then that gives us more standing and feeling like we have a place at the table today. And if we know that we have a place at the table today, then our vision of what's possible for the future can be limitless, right? We can be anything. And so that was the reason that I crowdfunded the book, because I didn't want to just have it be this book out in the world. I really view it as this tool to empower LGBTQ and allied teens. So the idea of crowdfunding was to raise enough money to publish it professionally and also to give away. So far, it's 900 copies of the book, and really see if we can try to change the world.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
So So I'm gay, so I'm the G of LGBTQ, and I feel like my job is to be an ally to everybody else, all the other letters. And in fact, I actually really like the term quilt bag, which is this new abbreviation or acronym, because it puts gay last. And I feel like gay men get a lot of the spotlight, and that's something I think we can do better about. And I really feel like a lot of this is about being allies to other people. So if we can model being allies to other people within our community, then we can sort of rally around the truth and get allies for everything. Because really, this isn't just the journey of, like Bayard Rustin was talking about this, we won't win gay rights just by fighting for gay rights. We're going to win our rights by fighting for everybody's rights. And I really think that that's the vision, right? For rights for women, the rights for people that, with disabilities, the rights different religions, there's no religion, the rights for everybody and for people of color. We want to create a world where we're all standing up for each other, because when we do that, we way outnumber and hopefully eventually outpower the people that are this sort of 1% super rich white men that are currently ruling the roost and desperately clawing on to their hold on this sort of patriarchal, selfish power. And we can do better.
How do you see our LGBTQ community or any minority community moving forward in this Trump administration?
So I think a lot about improv, and I'm not an actor, but there's this great thing in improv where it's like, yes, and. So I feel like, yes, we march, and yes, we protest, and yes, we sign petitions, and yes, we support better politicians, and yes, we vote, and yes, we raise our voices. And all of that is sort of trying to change minds. And then I think we also make art, because that's where we start to change hearts. And maybe even it's one heart at a time. And I think that books are this amazing, powerful medium for empathy, for seeing yourself in another or an other. And maybe Queer as a $5 Bill can help with that. And it's funny because when I grew up in outside Philadelphia, there was this expression that was really old-timey, that was when something was really weird or strange, they would call it, well, that's just queer as a $3 bill. And that's because in America, they never made $3 bills. But Lincoln's on the five. So that's the reason that the book is called Queer as a $5 Bill. It's a bit of a play on words, because it is kind of this amazing thing that you can crack open that facade of history and have everybody that reads the book, or even the people that are listening to this, and they're like, wow, wait, Lincoln was maybe in love with another guy? Maybe the way I've been taught history isn't true, and that can be a breakthrough and can maybe change things for the better.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
You're not alone. I used to feel so alone. And the amazing thing about Abraham and Joshua is that it's just kind of the tip of the iceberg, right? There's this Eleanor Roosevelt and her love for Lorena Hickok. There's Gandhi and his love for Hermann Kallenbach, which is crazy, right? Like we all think like Mahatma Gandhi, what? But like there are books discovering new journals in some, you know, attic somewhere that's buried, or, you know, not the Indiana Jones of queer history. These things are out there in the public domain. There are the letters from Gandhi to Kallenbach and back and forth are published on the internet. And it's just that nobody talks about it to kids. Joseph Lelyveld wrote a biography of Gandhi, and he had 2 pages where he talked about that Gandhi's soulmate was really Hermann Kallenbach. And because of that, the book was banned in India. And because of that, I read about it in the New York Times. But really, no, it's, you know, it was a 300 or 400 page history book for adults. Nobody's talking about this to kids. So I feel like if we can share these stories, there was a pharaoh, Hatshepsut, like over 2,600 years ago, who over 22 years of ruling Egypt changed their gender. Like there's these 3 statues in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And one is from the beginning of their reign, where they're appearing completely in a female body. The middle, 7 years later, they're sort of have changes. They're dressed more like in men's garb. They're not wearing a shirt. They're sort of breasts, but not really. This sort of in-between phase. And then at the end of their reign, they're portrayed completely as a man with a false beard and the Atef crown. It's completely like squared off shoulders and jaw. And it's all the same ruler. And I think that knowing that kind of history would be amazing and super empowering for anyone that's gender nonconforming or feels transgender. So I really feel like if we can access these true stories from history, it will be very empowering.
How can people get information about Queer as a $5 Bill?
The easiest way is to check out my website. I've been blogging for over 11 years at a site called I'm Here, I'm Queer, What the Hell Do I Read? It's leewins.org. And people from over 100 countries have come, and we just passed 2.6 million page loads. The book's on sale everywhere books are sold. The audiobook version just came out, which I'm really excited about. And also, if that doesn't work, ask your librarian. Having a book in the library is really great because it means multiple people will read it and be empowered by it.
What other projects are you working on?
So I have a nonfiction book for middle grade readers called The Queer History Project, No Way They Were Gay. It's the story of men who love men and women who love women and people who live outside gender boundaries. It sort of started because when I was writing Queer as a $5 Bill, there was just so much evidence that came up, and I felt like I couldn't cram it all into a novel. I really wanted to have more space to lay out the evidence. And then I realized that I didn't really want to write a book that was just about Abraham and Joshua and the evidence there. I felt like I wanted to make it a broader story. So it's really in-depth chapters on five different men who love men, five different women who loved women, five different people who lived outside gender boundaries. But because I really believe that we should be talking about love and not sex, the word homosexual doesn't really make sense because it makes everybody think that the only thing that defines a queer person is how they have sex. So I think that we'd get a lot further if we focus on love. A lot of times the lens that people use is this sort of CSI history lens where, well, can you prove that Eleanor Roosevelt had sex with Lorena Haycock? I'm like, well, that's not even an interesting question. What's interesting is, like, did she love Lorena? And how did that influence her view on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? Like, she became this huge human rights advocate, and maybe it was because she was a woman that loved other women. And in particular, Lorena. So history becomes this sort of flower that opens up to us when we start to see these other stories. And it can be, you can share this stuff with any age, because, again, we're talking about love. So another project I'm working on is a picture book called Love of the Half-Eaten Peach, which takes a story from Chinese history where there were, before China was even unified in the time of Confucius, there was a ruler of the state of Wei. His name was Duke Ling of Wei, and he was walking through an orchard with Mizu Zia, the guy he loved, and Mizu Zia picked a ripe peach off the tree and started to eat it. It was super delicious, so he stopped halfway through and gave the half-eaten peach to the guy he loved. And that act of selflessness, of love, of caring for someone else, became the way that for over 1,000 years in China, they said gay love. So they didn't say gay, they said in Chinese, love of the half-eaten peach. And that's how they describe two men in love. And that's an amazing love story. It's like, it should be epic. It should be like Cinderella. Everybody should know that. So I'm really excited about our LGBTQ history and how it can be so empowering for all of us.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
One of the amazing things is how pervasive queer history is. So I actually started this fun project on social media called Queer History is Everywhere. And I've been taking photos of Lincoln and how he pops up in so many places. I was traveling recently, and I was in the London in the airport at Heathrow, and there was this giant mural of Abraham Lincoln and the Lincoln Memorial in London. And so I think that's a fun way that people can join me and sort of point out, like, where they see evidence of LGBTQ history, because I really do think we can change this cultural conversation and have people feel more empowered in knowing that who they are today is awesome, because we didn't just spring up at Stonewall. There's this huge hundreds, thousands of years of history of men who love men and women who love women and people who live outside gender boundaries. And that's really exciting.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I do. My journey to be authentic was so hard, and everything I do right now is trying to create a world where teens can be their authentic selves now. And so at the end of yoga classes, there's this expression, namaste. It means the light in me recognizes and acknowledges the light in you. And I kind of added to that a little bit, and I'm like, the light in me recognizes and acknowledges and celebrates the light in you. Because if we can all be our authentic selves, then we can have access to our gifts, and we can share those with the world. And And that's how we'll make a better place.